church. It's good to see the people of God here this morning. We serve a risen Savior. Jesus Christ is alive, and He's here this morning with us in this place among the people of God. And He's present in your heart through the Holy Spirit of God for those who believe in Jesus Christ. So this morning we worship a God who is with us. We worship a God who walks through the valleys with us. We have such a good God. We have such an amazing God. So this morning, know God is always with you. And let's give Him praise that He is the one that empowers us through His Holy Spirit for righteous living. give our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning, and you may be seated. Children, come on forward at this time. I've already heard it. It's an incredibly good children's sermon this morning.
To come here and be with you on Sunday mornings. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Today, I want to talk about prayer. Do you pray every day?
Yes.
Yes, wonderful. What do you pray? What are some of the things you pray?
About God.
We pray for our moms and dads.
We pray for our moms and dads.
For forgiveness. These are all great ones. I even remember praying for toys for Christmas. I'm just throwing that out there. I do. I have no idea if you do that too, but I remember. Do you sometimes think that God doesn't hear your prayers because it seems like he's not answering your prayers? Or maybe you think something should happen and it doesn't happen the way you think? And when we do that, I'm thinking, I almost think we need to switch that around because, of course, God hears each and every prayer that we pray. So if we turn that around, it's instead, are we hearing God? That is a good question. I'm going to read from Proverbs 2, 1 through 2, and it says, "My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding." So, the idea is to listen with our ears and concentrate on understanding. So I'm going to play a little game with you this morning. And what you're going to do is you're going to close your eyes, and I am going to make a note. Now, don't open your eyes. I just want you to yell out what you think is in my hand, okay? And I have a few of them, but don't open your eyes and see. You're going to do it all just by listening.
A book.
A book, okay. Here's another one. Keep your eyes closed.
Pen.
Okay, keep your eyes closed.
Tape.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, here's another one.
Paper.
Paper.
The tape fell out.
The tape fell out. Thank you, ma'am. And I have one last one. Keep your eyes closed.
Coins.
Coins. Very good. Open your eyes. All right, so with all of that, you were able, with your eyes closed, you were able to know what I had. You didn't have to actually see it. So what I want you to do when you pray is you pray, say your prayer, but then I want you to stop, and I want you to focus. You saw like this? Okay. I want you to stop. I want you to focus and try to understand and listen. And for God, because God will tell you about yourself, and he'll tell you about your life. And so the idea is that you have to actually listen for God. So pray, then stop, and focus like you did this morning. Listen like you did this morning, and see if you can't hear God. Because otherwise, it's just a one-way conversation. It's just you talking to God. And you want a two-way conversation. So God is talking right back to you. Let's bow your heads. Lord, as we pray and seek to be near you, will you draw near to us, please, and forgive us for letting the noise of this world drown out your voice? I know you are here with us now as I pray. Help us to sense your loving presence and listen to you speak. In Jesus' most holy name, amen.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
Good to see everybody this morning. Once again, good to have you worshiping with us online. I believe the live stream is going without a hitch this morning, so praying that that will continue. If you want to register your attendance through the app, that would be helpful. I want to remind you that we are putting together a new church directory, and we would love everybody to participate in that. If you're a member of this church, that's awesome. We'd love for you to be involved. If you consider, if you're not, and you consider Wiley Methodist your church home, please do that as well. I believe we'll be taking them after the service. Is that correct? Brent gave me the thumbs up. Our main push is between services during the Sunday school hour, so we're going to do that as long as it takes to get as many pictures as we can. So let's participate in that. A reminder that tonight is our Global Methodist Church Connection Worship Service here in the sanctuary, 6 p.m., and we're going to gather with like-minded believers from across our area, churches that are transitioning to the Global Methodist Church or even considering doing that. So it'll be good to have the body of Christ worship together under that banner. So that's tonight at 6 o'clock. Ann Reiling's memorial service is at 9:30 on Tuesday morning. Ann and Dennis Reiling, faithful members of our fellowship, precious couple. Ann struggled with her health for the last several years. And Dennis, God bless him, he was her caregiver and was committed to her. I've told people he's probably husband of the year, the way he loved Ann. So that service is at 9:30. Because of that service, there will not be any women's Bible study this week. Our trunk or treat is next Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m. We're needing 50 vehicles to be candy distribution points. We have 46 committed. I'm doing well in that regard. On the candy side of things, not so much. We're about 18,000 pieces short of our 50,000 goal. And so raid the candy store if you get a chance. If you can pick some up, bring it to the church, that'd be awesome. If you can donate for candy so we can pick the candy up, that would be good as well. You can do that through our online giving opportunities. Operation Christmas Child's in full swing. Our goal this year is 450 shoe boxes. Our online goal is 200 boxes. And, of course, the main goal when the boxes are distributed, given to the kids, the main goal is sharing the gospel with those children and their families and others. So we have a short video that Paige is going to cue up for us.
When those lids come off those boxes, you've never seen such pure joy.
This is amazing. As you can see, the children's faces, they are excited as they open up the gifts for the first time.
What makes the gifts more than just gifts is the message that comes with the gift.
This is the opportunity for a child to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ.
The mission of Operation Christmas Child never changes. Children are coming to Jesus, and children are taking the gospel to the ends of the earth.
Millions of children around the world are being impacted by these simple shoebox gifts. One box can touch not just a child, but the whole family. So we need to keep packing those boxes and pray for the children that God will use this in a very special way. So thank you for being a part of it. God bless you.
You know, what a unique way of getting the gospel into the hands of people. Awesome. So participate in that. You can grab shoe boxes to take home to fill. Also, if you want to help with the shipping costs, you can donate through our online giving for that. One other thing before we pray, our Houses for Healing Ministries, we have started our second house. We completed our first house. It'll be 5 years ago in December. We dedicated the house, and it was dedicated for Brown County. We are building a second house, a second structure that is dedicated for Knox County. And Larry Turner, I'm going to embarrass you, if that's okay. Well, I've already done that. I've mentioned your name. So Larry and Alicia are awesome members of our fellowship. Larry's been in construction for a number of years, and he helped us kickstart this project. Got a couple of pictures I want to show just to show you what we're doing. That was 5 or 6 hours worth of work, Larry, you and one other person or something like that. He's shaking his head, yes. Next photo, another 5 or 6 hours. And I told the early crowd, you know, we had a crew that built the first house. And, you know, we're amateurs, and that was about 7 days worth of work for us. So so having Larry on board is a blessing. And, Larry, God bless you for doing that. Also, that house, your donations through your generosity is fully funded. Amen, that's good. Naomi, unless I go over budget, right? So that's on me. So there'll be opportunities for you to be involved in the construction at some point. So we're going to get there and we'll get more information out about that. Let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I just want to encourage you just to get settled before him. Whatever that might look like for you. I mean, I've got like 1,000 thoughts running through my mind. And, all of our affections should be towards the throne. God's there. Jesus is at his right hand. The Holy Spirit is here with us, helping us make that connection. I think sometimes I forget that God deserves our very best because of what Christ did for us on the cross. So this morning, if you've been a little disengaged up to this point, then I just encourage you just to press in, pursue the Lord. I think he has something for all of us this day. So, Father, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for opportunities to encounter your goodness, encounter your mercy and your grace, your love, your kindness. And Lord, I pray that those things flow this morning as we continue to worship you. As we sit under our pastors, your servants teaching, God, I pray that it resonate deeply with our hearts. Lord, if we've been a little disconnected, I thank you for grace, but Lord, we don't need to use that as an excuse to miss you this morning. So, Father, I just pray that you heighten our awareness of your presence in this room. In other words, as we continue to sing and worship, God, I just pray that we know without a doubt that you'll never let go of us. Give us confidence, give us boldness. Help us to be courageous this day and the days to follow. And Lord, as we pursue you for the future, God, would you pour out your Spirit on us? God, there's a world out there that's broken and needs to know desperately that Jesus loves them. And how are they going to know unless we tell them, unless your church tells them or your church shows them? God, we are Christ's ambassadors, as if he were making an appeal through us. Help us to be good stewards of that calling on our lives. God, I pray you minister to needs this morning, those who are hurting physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I pray that you minister deeply to those needs. Pray for those who may be missing out on joy this day. God, I pray for joy to break out in their hearts. And I pray against anxiety this morning and depression. Those of us in Christ have that mind, the mind of Christ. I pray that it rise to the surface this morning in the lives of those people who are struggling in that area. Oh, you're such a good, good Father. We praise you. thank you for this time. Thank you for opportunities to worship you. And show up in a mighty way for your glory. And we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you of our giving opportunities. We have offering boxes by the doors. Also, if you have a prayer need, you want to fill out a prayer request, you can slip those in that box as well. Or you can also give online. God bless you, church.
Yeah. Good morning again. I want to ask you, is it well with your soul? If it is not well with your soul, come and see me. Let's talk. Let's pray. The Lord, you know, and when we, I don't know, that song, It Is Well With My Soul, you probably have heard the story. Horatio Sprague, I believe, wrote that, and he had just lost four daughters to a shipwreck. And wrote that song immediately after that tragedy. So being well with your soul does not mean that everything's smooth, that life is all smooth and good. It means that in the midst of it all, God is good and He loves you. If you are our guest this morning, I hope you feel the love of Christ. I hope you feel the love of His people. And I hope you feel the Holy Spirit. We are glad you're here. If you are our guest, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with the blue stripe that says guest registration. We'd love for you to fill that out, and I would love to meet you at the end of this, of the end of the foyer, at the end of the service. I'll be out there. Would love to meet you. I want to thank Billy for bringing a good word last week, and I appreciate y'all letting Cheryl and I have a few days away to recuperate a little bit. And we miss it when we're not here. We were able to do the live stream, but it's just good to be here. So turn with me, if you would, to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Verse 5. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And then in verse 18, once again, be strong and courageous. If you'll pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, we want to hear from you. As Teresa led our children this morning, we're listening. We're listening. Would you speak, Holy Spirit, speak in power and authority, transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So, when I was a little boy, I shared this, I think, a year or two ago. When I was a little boy, it was long before all of the movies, all the superhero movies that we have today. What I had was Batman. Come on. In the 60s, pow! Wham! You remember that? I look back, I've watched a few scenes from that series, and I'm like, man, I was a gullible little kid, wasn't I? I mean, the guy looked like he had on pantyhose. I don't know. It was just odd. But I saw Batman was, man, he was the man. He was my hero. He was kind of a hero. And I've said this before, but all of our bath towels, we would take our bath towels, Jay and I, we would take them and we would pin them around and make a cape. Anybody else do that? And so most of our bath towels had holes in the corner. And when those holes would, you know, where they couldn't, you know, you couldn't fasten them anymore, you just turned it. And so all four of the corners had holes in it. So I thought Batman was a hero. Well, let me tell you, you don't have to wear a cape to be a hero. You don't have to wear a cape to be strong and courageous, which is the title of my message today, Be Strong and Courageous. You know, this passage out of Joshua 1, I shared this a few months ago, but it just seemed appropriate again today that July of 2002, I was actually working with the youth, and we had been on did you know I used to be young, could climb mountains and stuff? And we had been backpacking, and we were coming out of the mountains, and had the youth. And the morning we were coming out, I read a devotional, and it was Joshua 1. And the emphasis of the devotional and the words that jumped out to me was be strong and courageous. And I was like, okay, that's cool. And we came out of the mountains. Some of y'all remember Tim Crane. Tim was our youth pastor. Some of you old guys, like Corey, was in his youth group. Tim was working, had been here, but he was working now at Cal Farley's Boys Ranch, and which was kind of on the way back, up in the panhandle, kind of on our way back. So we stopped at Cal Farley's to see Tim and went to a worship service there at Cal Farley's, and guess what the pastor was preaching on? Be strong and courageous, Joshua 1. So we spent the night there, and the next day we get up early, and we're coming on into Abilene. And I turned on the radio, and I actually heard it on the way to Cal Farley's as well. It was the second time, and then at Cal Farley's the third time. On the way to Abilene, a fourth time, I turned on the radio, and there was a pastor reading this scripture, be strong and courageous. And I made a note. This is the Bible. It's a little thin line. I preach from this, but my study Bible that I've got in the office, I've got a notation in the margin of this passage, and it says, July of 2002, I heard this passage four times within a 24-hour period, and then I've go on to say in the margin, a month and a half later, I was pastor at Wiley Methodist Church. Now, I told the early service, I'm not trying to portray myself as Joshua or even anywhere on the same significance. What I think that word was for us as a church, be strong and courageous. At that time, we had just gone through a split. If you don't know about all that, I can tell you about that later. But it was not an angry split, but I tell people it was a hard split. It was a hurtful split. And I knew the church would be a time of healing. And I really felt like the Lord showed me just focus on me and spreading my gospel, spreading the kingdom, and be strong and courageous. And don't get distracted by all the other stuff. And I think that's the same message for us today as we're heading into a new chapter of the unknown. Be strong and courageous. The Lord is with us. A couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago or so, I preached, used Acts chapter 5. Gamaliel? Well, I'll see if that's right later. It may not be pronouncing it right, but he was a Pharisee, and the disciples had been, their crime had been that they were sharing the gospel, they were healing people, and they were casting out demons, and they were doing all this stuff in the name of Jesus, and the Pharisees didn't like it, so they arrested them with the intention to kill them, and they're trying to, but they know that the people will revolt if they kill them, so they're trying to figure out what to do. And this man in one of the Pharisees, he comes in Acts chapter 5, and he says this, "Leave these men alone, let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail." And I believe that passage, message is still for us today. If all we're about is building up a church, you know, so we can impress people with our numbers, and how many people joined and how many this and that and how many, even good stuff like how many meals we serve at the food pantry, how many houses we build for Houses for Healing. Those are all good things and we need to be about that. But if that's what we're about, that's of human origin and it will fail. But then he goes on to say, but if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. Don't you love that? If we're about God's business, there's nothing that's going to stop us. You will only find yourselves, he says, fighting against God. So man, I'm just, the same message from 20 years ago is the same message I think God would give us today. Be strong and courageous. Focus on me, loving people on my behalf, sharing the gospel, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Don't worry about all that other stuff. Will take care of itself. There's six biblical examples. There's so many more, but I just picked six biblical examples of people that were strong and courageous in the midst of the unknown. Now, it's easy to be strong and courageous when we're healthy. We got lots of money. Everybody likes us. It's really easy to walk in faith in that, right? But when any of those things begin to kind of come into question, that's when God is calling us to be strong and courageous. So the first one I'm going to hit these pretty quick. I've referenced all these in your handouts, got the scriptures. Noah, we know Noah, a lot of theologians, that's a hard word, a lot of theologians believe that there may not have even been rain before that. And that's another sermon and we can unpack that another time. But here he is. He's out in the middle of nowhere, and God says, "Hey, build this boat." He might have even thought, "What's a boat?" You know, and he bring in all these animals and bring in your family that are faithful, and I'm gonna flood the world. And so Genesis chapter 6. So God said to Noah, "I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. So make yourself an ark." And here's the key verse 22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Even the unknown is like, what's a boat? What's rain? You're going to do what? All that unknown, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Strong and courageous. Next one is Abram, which God later changed his name to Abraham. When Abram was 75 years old, now think about that, 75 years old, you probably built your nest egg, you got your life, you know, kind of, it's time to enjoy life and just kind of do our thing. So Abram is 75 years old, and here's what happens. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country." Oh, I know you're all settled in here. "Leave your country, leave your people, your father's household, and go to the land I'll show you." He doesn't say, "Here's what it's going to look like, and here's where you're going to go exactly, and here's how it's all going to work out." He just said, "I'll show you. Just leave all this stuff and go where I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. All the people on earth will be blessed through you." And here it is, key verse 4. So Abram left as the Lord had told him. So, again, 75 years old, a lot of unknowns there, a lot of radical stuff God's asking of him, and Abram did as the Lord told him. And this is my favorite one, Moses. Now, I was telling the early service, if we're honest, I think y'all look like a pretty honest group. If we're honest, many of us, what we know of Moses is from watching the Ten Commandments, huh? Have we really read the scripture? I mean, you know, I watch the Ten Commandments. We've watched it dozens and dozens of times. I love it. But it's loosely based on scripture, and it's great. Nothing wrong with it. But there's more. There's more there. Listen to this. I'm going to hit this pretty quick. Moses, he sees the burning bush. He's fled Egypt. They're wanting to kill him. He's fled Egypt, and he sees the burning bush. He goes up on the mountain. And God says, "You're to return to Egypt, where they want to kill you. You're to return to Egypt, and you're going to set my people free that have been enslaved for 400 years." And here goes, and Moses starts. I can relate to Moses. He says, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go? And then, verse 12, God said, I will be with you. Verse 13, what if they ask me who sent me? Who am I to go? What if they ask me who sent me? Chapter 4, verse 1, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? But Lord, verse 10, but Lord, I'm not eloquent. I'm slow of speech and tongue. And I was telling the early service, it sounds like God's asking to be a Sunday school teacher. Because I've heard some of those things before. Oh, I don't know the Bible well enough. I'm this and that. So all these excuses. And then, I love this. After God addresses all those different things, he says this. Oh, Lord, please send someone else to do it. Can you see? I mean, that wouldn't have played very well with Charlton Heston. Lord, please send someone else to do it. You know, it just, that was my Charlton Heston impersonation. So he's got all these excuses. Lord, please send, you'll send Aaron. And then finally the Lord says, and I can just see the Lord, did you think the Lord gets exasperated with us sometimes? I can see the Lord going, oh my Lord, Moses, all these excuses. And finally the Lord says, okay, I'll send your brother Aaron with you. He talks pretty good. But here it is, verse 20, 4:20. Moses started back to Egypt. He's making all these excuses. And the Lord says, but Moses, I'll be with you. He finally starts back to Egypt, and we know how that ends up. Joshua, we read some of this today, but if you can also read about Joshua in Numbers 13 and 14. As Joshua is preparing to go into the promised land, he sends 12 spies into the promised land to scout the terrain, to scout the people and see what they're up against. And so they go, and all 12 of them come back. 10 of them, this is 10 of them, this is what they said, 10 of the 12. But the 10 men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We seemed like grasshoppers in their own eyes, and we looked the same to them. You know, I was telling the early service that sometimes I feel like one of these 10 with our world. It's like, Lord, man, our world is a mess. And how can we make an impact on this broken, weird world that we're in? Does anybody else feel that way sometimes? You're just overwhelmed. It's like, Lord, I feel like a grasshopper, Lord. These problems, these issues are of great size. But here's Joshua and Caleb said this, 2 of the 12. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And I'm not making this about people, but just that the forces of evil that are out there in our world, I believe if we just remain faithful, that God will, he is the victor. He will swallow them up. I want to be on that team. I don't want to be one of the 10 that just sees the giants. I want to be one of the 2 that says the Lord is with us. Another example is Jesus himself. You know, I've said this, but the cross was not a warm and fuzzy event. Jesus wasn't looking forward to the cross. But he had foretold the cross. He had told the disciples what was going to happen many, many times. And I love this, the passage where even though he knows what awaits him in Jerusalem, and it says, but they went to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. Man, does anybody else think that's amazing? He's leading the way to his own cross because he loves us. And you talk about strong and courageous. That should be our example. And then finally, the disciples, and I believe this is not just for them, it's for us. We've known this as, become known as the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So I want to stop there a second. So he's saying that I have, there is nothing greater than me, my authority. All authority has been given to me. Nothing is greater, nothing will defeat him. And then he goes, and there's that word, therefore. Because he has all authority, because he is giving us that authority through him, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now here it is. And surely I am with you always. And I think to the very end of the age, I think a paraphrase of that, surely, Wiley Methodist, I am with you. So, very quickly, I'm going to just, I think there's there's so many common lessons we can learn from this as we're seeking to be strong and courageous, but I'm going to hit three of them very quickly here. To be strong and courageous, we must remember what God has done for us. We must remember what God has done for us. Every time we partake of the Lord's meal, Lord's Supper, we are remembering what he's done for us. The Joshua, another part of the Joshua story is he's entering into the promised land. They have to cross the Jordan, which is at flood levels that time of year. And God says, that's okay. Take the Ark of the Covenant, which, by the way, God resided in the Ark of the Covenant, and take the priests and they'll have them walk down into these floodwaters across the Jordan, and I will provide dry land wherever the ark goes, the path that the ark goes. And they did it. The water separated. Did you know God parted the Red Sea and the Jordan? There's no movies about that, I don't think. But He parts the Jordan, they walk through, and as they get on the other side, all of the whole nation of Israel, God says to Joshua, take a leader from each of the 12 tribes, have them select a stone and have them stand it up, standing stones. And every time, as from generation to generation, every time one of your children asks, what are those stones? You tell them, you remember what I've done for you. You remember my faithfulness. We have standing stones in our own life. We need to remember to be strong and courageous, man. We need to remember what God has done. And I won't go deep into this, but I told the early service that when Cheryl and I were transitioning in ministry, so many people thought we had lost our mind. And maybe I have, but not in that regard. But we knew we were supposed to do what we did. And God, and so we can look back, and I've told y'all many times, God, y'all are God's faithfulness to us. I just wanted to be a pastor. I just wanted to pastor a church. I didn't care if it had 10 people or 1,000 people or 2 people. I just wanted to pastor a church. That was the yearning of my heart, and Cheryl was there as well. And we can remember back. It's a standing stone in our life, what God has done. And I know each of us have different things where we know God has been faithful. Secondly, to be strong and courageous, we must boldly go where he leads. Every one of these examples that I gave, even if they, like Moses, he's trying to get out of it. He's like, Lord, but what about this? But what about this? But finally, each one of these examples, they acted. They did as the Lord had told them to do. So, it's one thing to say we believe, and it's another thing to go when God says to do something. And it may be something simple like go to someone and say, I'm sorry. Say, I forgive you. I mean, he doesn't always ask us to go set a nation free. Maybe he just wants to set yourself. He wants you to be set free. Boldly go where he leads you if you want to be strong and courageous. And number three, the final one, to be strong and courageous, we must not fear the obstacles in front of us. Every example I gave, you know, Noah, it took 120 years for Noah to build the ark. I'm not sure, but our houses for healing, Billy, if it took 120 years, somebody else is going to have to finish it for me. We're not going to be able to get it done. Abraham was 75 years old and was probably settled in for life, and he had no details of what the future held, and yet he was obedient. Joshua had the choice of listening to the 10 or the 2. And thank goodness he listened to the 2 that remembered that God was with them. Jesus didn't have to go to the cross, and yet he did. As we go forward, church, we as the disciples before us, we are filled with the Spirit of God. We can boldly go. We can be strong and courageous because we have the Spirit of God living in us. In fact, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." I just tell you, church, the name on our sign may be changing, but what God has called us to do isn't changing. To follow him with all our heart, to love people on his behalf. I tell you, every time we pass out turkeys or go to hang siding on a house we're redoing or whatever, I try to tell the people, we're not passing out turkeys just to be passing out turkeys. We're passing out the love of Jesus. Every time you go work at the food pantry, every time you do anything, we should be sharing the love of Christ. And we are empowered to be his church. And so as we go forward, whatever you're facing in your life, it may not even be related to our church. It may be something personal in your life. Here's this statement came to me as I was leading up to this message. I think it's from the Lord. I'll let you decide. So the goal is not how to fear less, but how to trust God more. The goal is not to learn how to fear less, but to trust God more. So if the praise team will come back up as we close. We have a baptism, and just Olivia Reinard is going to be baptized in just a moment. So I hope you will stay and be a part of that. If you'll bow your heads and pray with me. Father, thank you for the examples of people who have been strong and courageous in the midst of unknown. Father, I'm just reminded that there's people right here in this room that the enemy would want fear to control their life. Not just with our church, but just in their personal life, things that they're facing, God. It may be finances or health. It may be a marriage that's not going well. It may be needing a job. Maybe an addiction. We trust you, Lord. Because when you're with us, we will not fail. So we just have to press into you. Help us do that, Lord. Help us press into you. Help us to be strong and courageous. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to stand if you're able as we sing this last song. Again, we will do a baptism in just a moment.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till all my fears are gone, I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to
Some's back here. Is there anybody? You got some more family, friends? Y'all come around front. Y'all, yeah, and y'all step on in. Olivia, you want to come down and just stand? Don't fall, girl. We don't want to start this off with an ER visit. Can you go one more just for the standing part? Yeah. Yeah, y'all come on up. We have cameras, so you can come right in front. We can see just fine. You have a shy family. Y'all are welcome to come up, family. Family, friends. They can see, so y'all can come right here where y'all get a good view. There's cameras they can see. Very shy, folks. All right. So, can we see Olivia? Yeah. So, Olivia, we talked about these questions that I would ask you today. So, we talked about that word sin, that all of us, every one of us, are sinners. Sometimes we don't do things that please God. And God just wants us to ask Him to forgive us of that. So do you admit and confess that you're a sinner? Yeah. Amen. And do you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin? And you want Jesus to be your Lord and your Savior? Yeah. Amen. And you want to be baptized? I think you've been a little excited about this, haven't you? All right, if you'll put your feet, just scoot up a little bit more. And y'all can kind of reach in here with me. Everybody get a hand in there. Now, hold your nose, Olivia, so you don't get a brain full of water. Olivia, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay right there. Yes. We're going to pray. Remember, we also talked about how the Holy Spirit, God lives in His Holy Spirit, and He wants to live inside of you. And so I'm going to pray for you, okay? Okay, can y'all want to come up and put a hand, if you can grab a hand on her, if not, the shoulder in front of you. Can you get in there, Dad? Okay. And sister, grandma, everybody. Okay, here we go. Olivia, God loves you. Jesus, thank you for dying for Olivia. Thank you how much you love her. I pray that you would fill her with your Holy Spirit, that this would be a brand new day, a brand new beginning. She would be a new creation in Christ. Father, just bless her in the future. Bless this family. We thank you, Lord, that you love us and you died for us and you've proven it. So we pray it in the precious and holy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
All right, you can go dry off, girl. Carlene said she's taking all your kids home with her today. You can pick them up on Wednesday.
Right.
No. They are in front, so we got some high fives going on out there, Carlene. Yeah. No, your children will be up front for you to pick up after the service. Here, if you will rise for this benediction. Church, we can be strong and courageous. Why? Because we're really, really tough? No, because the Lord is with us. We had this good news, church. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.